your tongue that God gave you, and this authority that God gave you, and you can choose to speak life. Speak the truth of God over your life and release life into other people's hearts, into their life, into your future, into your relationships. See? Are you speaking words of death or are you speaking words of life? Notice it goes on to say, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. I've always found that second part of that verse sound a little strange. And those who love it will eat its fruit. Well, first of all, what is it that they're loving and what are you eating? Notice it says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Love what? Love words of life. See, when you understand how powerful your words are and how if you'll, with your words, direct where your life is going, it says this, you'll love it and you'll eat its fruit. What does that mean? You'll see the results in your life. If you'll begin to speak words of life, you'll see life begin to manifest in you and through you to other people. And it says, you'll love it and you'll eat its fruit. You'll be satisfied. You'll see the results of it. But so many people, they don't understand. They're walking around just speaking words here, words there, being real flippant with our words, speaking death to people, speaking death about things going on in our life, and just throwing our words around all over the place, not realizing that those words of death are destructive. See, just because you can't see your words doesn't mean they're not making an impact. You can't see the wind, but you can see the effect of the wind, especially when it starts picking up, right? Tear out trees, tear down phone lines sometimes. Your words have power. They're like missiles flying out into the atmosphere, and they're either bringing life or they're bringing death. And people who don't understand this, man, they just keep speaking words of death, words of death. And they never see the results. They never see the fruit of life manifesting in their life. Jesus himself, in Mark chapter 11, tells us how powerful our words are. Jesus himself modeled this and taught this and explains just how powerful our words are. And he says in Mark chapter 11, he said to his disciples, "For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have what he says." Man, did you hear what he said? He's talking to his disciples, and he says to them, oh yeah. He says it so matter of fact. He says it as if he expects our words to have this much authority and power. He says, oh yeah, see that mountain over there? You could say to that mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea. And if you said that to that mountain and believed in your heart, with no doubting, that what you say would happen, he says, oh, it would be done for you. Now, I think there's a lot of Christians who just think Jesus is making stuff up here. I mean, I think that if I didn't tell you Jesus said that, I think there's a lot of Christians who would be like, oh, yeah, that's just some of that, like, you know, positive talk stuff. No, this is Jesus. He knows how these things work, right? He's not lying. He's not making this up. He's trying to help these disciples to understand, this is how I casted out demons. This is how I healed people, raised the dead, calmed storms. Jesus is helping them to explain, or he's explaining to them, helping them to understand. Listen, Jesus is saying, because I speak and I believe it's going to happen, it happens. Jesus expected his words to do what he said. Just like when God created the world and said, let there be light, and it was so. When Jesus came up to a dead man and he said, hey, come back to life. He expected him to come back to life. And it happened. And do you hear what Jesus is saying? He expects those of us who are followers of him to do the same thing. He's not saying to the disciples, hey, listen, I'm so awesome, and you're not. This is how I do miracles, but you can't. No, he says, hey, why are you guys tripping out? Why are you tripping out? Let me tell you how this thing works. See, he really believes and really expects that we would believe his word and speak his word. You see that? Notice what he says. Whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast in the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Do you see? It's not just speaking words. Do you see that? It's speaking words with faith. Do you see that? It's God's word that comes into our heart, and we believe it, and then we speak with faith. It's believing that God's word is true, and God's word is powerful, and when I agree with God and speak God's word, it will release God's power, God's life into my life. Do you see that? It's not just speaking words, it's speaking words of faith. Well, what does he mean by mountains? Mountains. I mean, in the moment, he's probably talking about a real mountain, but he's talking to us, he's talking to his disciples about real obstacles in our life, impossibilities in our life, mountains of debt, mountains of sin, mountains of addiction. Sometimes people have these marital problems. There's disunity in their marriage, and it looks like a mountain that can never be moved. See, a mountain is something that you think, man, this is never going to change. I can't do this in my own effort. And Jesus is saying, listen, you speak to that thing. You speak to that mountain of debt. You speak to that thing that is impossible for you to move in your own human ability. He says, you speak to it, and you believe it's going to move, and God's power will cause it to move. That's what he's saying. See, God's already spoken. God's already made the promises to you. He's already given you his word. But it's not enough for the promises to be in the Bible. They're already written. God's already spoken them. He's already told us what he's going to do. But until the word of God comes out of your mouth with faith, you won't see the breakthrough. Do you hear what I'm saying? He's already spoken. But now he's given you the authority. And Jesus, out of his own mouth, is saying, you need to speak. You take the promises of God. And you speak them out. And Jesus is saying, that mountain will not move because I spoke it. God already believes it's going to happen. And he already spoke. No, he's saying it's going to move when you believe and you speak. Do you see what he's doing? He's trying to teach us how to walk in his ways. Listen to this other verse where Jesus explains how important our words are. Matthew chapter 12, in verse 36, he says this. But I say to you that for every idle word that men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. For every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. That's a serious verse. That doesn't mean we're going to hell, but we as believers, it means we're going to stand before the Lord and we're going to give an account for every idle word that we speak. That's how important our words are. Every word, what's idle mean? Every word that gets off of God's word. Every word that's not in alignment with the truth. Every word that does not agree with God. He says, for every idle word, words of death will give account. That's how important our words are. Our words can bring death or they can bring life. They can release the power of God or they can shut the power of God down in our life. They can be idle words or they can be powerful words. But it's our choice. And Jesus is trying to say, listen, you've got to get your words in agreement with God. See, the problem is, we'll say one thing and then we'll say another. We'll say we believe God, and then we'll speak idle words over here, right? We'll speak life over here, and then we'll speak death over here. See, a lot of times people think that this just works in church. This just works when I'm praying. But it didn't say When you pray, your words have power of life and death. It says life and death are in the power of the tongue. Jesus didn't say that when you say spiritual words, that you'll give account for it. He said for every idle word. See, we can speak spiritual words in church or around other Christians, but what do you say in private? What do you say around other people? Those are the words, the idle words, that you will give account for. You can't say one thing over here and then another over here and expect the power of God to be released. See, because a lot of times we come into church, maybe put your religious cap on sometimes, not that we want to, and we'll say, bless the Lord, and praise the Lord, we'll sing some songs, and then we'll maybe like today, we're going to make some declaration. We'll say, yeah, amen, the Lord is my provider. Yeah, by his stripes I am healed. And we'll speak life over some things, right? And you say, all right, I did my job. And then you go home, and the moment that pain hits your body, you say, oh, man, I'm never going to be healed. See, a lot of times when we speak those spiritual words, we're saying what we hope will happen, what we wish will happen, what we really just, I want that to happen. But when we're really in the thick of it, and the trial comes on, and the testing, and you're hanging out with your friends or something, that's what you speak those words, that's what you really believe is going to happen. See, think about it. What do you really believe is going to happen? Do you really believe that God's word is going to manifest and bring life to your life? If you really believed it, you would speak it, and then you would stick with it. You can't come over here and say, God is my provider, and then when it gets tough and the bills come in, and say, man, I don't know how we're going to ever provide. I mean, I don't know how I'm ever going to pay this bill. See? Do you believe that the Lord is your provider and that he will come through? Or do you believe that it's not going to work? See? You've got to speak to that mountain. And you've got to speak and believe. No, what God said about my life, what God said about my future, what God said about my finances, that's what will happen. See, that takes faith. That takes faith. Can you imagine? You know, I used to work at Taco Bell when I was a teenager. Can you imagine you go, somebody drives up to the drive-thru, you know, and they're, okay, let's see, what do I want? Oh, I'd like a chicken burger. No, I want a hamburger. What do I want? No, I want a salad. I don't really feel like being healthy today. Can I take their order? I can't take their order. You know what I'm saying? Can you imagine the cooks in the back? Okay, wants chicken. No, wants a hamburger. Oh, man, what does he want? You keep changing your mind. Keep changing your words. You know what's going to happen? Man, we ain't making your order until you make a decision, right? You know, it's the same thing with the Lord. You're saying one thing over here, and the Lord's like, all right. And then you come over here and you say another thing, and the Lord's like, oh, I guess he didn't want it. I guess he didn't believe. See, we can't fake the Lord out, huh? He knows if you really believe. He knows if you really expect for his word to come to pass in your life. And you're over here saying one thing and saying another and then saying over here and then speaking another thing and speaking another thing. And you're speaking your feelings and you're speaking what you see and you're speaking what you think. And you're speaking because, well, you know, it's always been this way and nothing's ever really going to change. And the Lord's saying, well, I guess that's what he or she expects is going to happen. Listen, until you put the order in, I want a hamburger, then he's not going to make it. Until you ask the Father in the name of Jesus and believe. You speak words of faith and believe. God, I thank you you're going to do what you said you're going to do. Then he says, she spoke. Do it. Release it. Maybe sometimes he sends out angels to get things done or whatever. But man, now that mountain's going to move. But you over here speaking words of life over here, speaking words of death over here, speaking blessing, speaking cursing, speaking faith, speaking unbelief. It's not going to happen. We've got to speak words of faith. We've got to get our words into alignment with God. See, and I declare over you, you're going to get your words into alignment with God. From this day forward, you're going to begin to speak words of life. You're going to speak the truth of God over your life. You're going to speak God's promises out of your mouth from this day forward. And listen, you're going to eat the fruit of it. You're going to begin to see the results. If from this day forward, you begin to get your words into alignment with God, you're going to see powerful things happen. I guarantee it. Listen, this is how Jesus did ministry on the earth. He ministered in the power of God because he spoke words of faith. This is exactly how Jesus healed people, isn't it? You remember that in Matthew 8? You remember that one story where there was a centurion that came to Jesus and begged him to heal his servant? It was a servant that he loved dearly. And he comes to Jesus and he says, "Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed, dreadfully tormented." Can you imagine that? Just in pain, can't move. And he comes to him and he says to Jesus, or Jesus actually says to him, "Hey, I'm going to come and heal him." And this centurion says to him, "Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof." But listen to what he says. This centurion says to Jesus, "Only speak a word and my servant will be healed." And that's exactly what Jesus did. Jesus said to the centurion, "Go your way. As you have believed, so let it be done." See, that's mountain moving faith. Do you see what he did? "Lord, you only say the word, my servant will be healed." And Jesus said, "You said it, and you believed it, and it will be done for you." And Jesus spoke words, this man spoke words, and Jesus spoke words, and it says in the text that very hour that servant was healed. Jesus didn't even go and lay hands on him. All he did was speak, and that word, that powerful word, went out and went and healed that paralyzed servant. No more pain. Got up, he's walking, just fine. That is exactly how the word of God works. It says in Psalm 107, verse 20, "He sent his word and healed them." He sent his word and healed them. That's how powerful the word of God is. God's word will go out and heal people. You know, this is the same thing for us. We as believers who have the Holy Spirit, we can minister the same power. The Apostle Paul did it. Remember in Acts 14, it's one of my favorite stories. There's a man listening to the preaching of the gospel, like you're listening to me preach the gospel, and he'd never walked his whole life. Just shriveled up, skinny legs, no muscles, never had walked in his whole life. And now he's hearing the gospel being preached. He's hearing about Jesus who died and rose again. And faith came into this man's heart. For the first time in his life, he thinks, "I could walk." And it says this, that Paul says, "This man heard Paul speaking, Paul observing him intently, seeing that he had faith to be healed." Paul saw that this man, this faith rose up in his heart, and Paul saw that that man had faith to be healed. And listen to what Paul did. Paul simply says this, in a loud voice, he says, "Stand up straight on your feet." And he leaped and walked. This man never walked in his whole life. Strength came into his legs instantly. He didn't even have to learn how to walk. Muscles, tendons, the ability to walk. Boom, the guy gets up and he's walking. It was so crazy that the whole crowd freaked out. They actually wanted to worship Paul and Barnabas. And they were like, "Hey, hey, hey, we're just men. We're just men. Worship God, you know." That's how powerful. Paul didn't even lay hands on him. Didn't even lay hands on him. Just spoke to him, "Stand up and walk." That's how powerful our words are. See, I've seen this many times. I've seen people get healed. You know, sometimes I'll pray for people, I'll lay hands on them, and I'll see them healed. But there's times I don't even lay hands on them. There's times I just speak, depression, go. And I'll get an email a week later, "Oh my goodness, I'm totally different. I'm not addicted to that substance anymore. It's like my brain is different." Yeah, all I did was speak words. I've seen that. I've seen that happen. Pains leave. Problems that people have had for years. One time I was teaching on words like this. And I was talking to a crowd and teaching the word like this. I had from the leading of the Holy Spirit. I wasn't just saying crazy stuff. I had something from the Holy Spirit and I said, "Listen, as I'm preaching to you, some of you are going to be healed. Some of you are going to be healed just as I'm teaching, and faith is going to come in your heart, and the Lord is going to heal you." Well, there was this guy sitting right in the front, in the middle, and he'd been experiencing back pain for years, probably about a decade, from an accident, a construction accident. And he's sitting there and he was in pain. And faith came into him. He believed God. And he said to the Lord, "That's for me." He said, "God, that's for me. I receive it." He spoke words of faith to the Lord. And guess what? Healed like that. Now, he didn't tell anybody right away. Because, you know, you're thinking, "Oh, I just felt, you know, I'm probably not really healed. I just feel better," right? So he waits a day. Pain is gone. He waits another day. Pain is gone. He waits another day. Pain is gone. He ends up sending me an email. He says, "Listen, let me tell you the story." And he explains, "I am healed." I guarantee you could call him today and say, "Hey, how you feeling?" "Oh, I'm healed." How did that happen? The power of God's word coming out of my mouth. But listen, it hasn't always been that way for me. I remember when I was a new believer, I'd hear stories of the Lord healing people. I've read it in the Bible. But I didn't understand these things. It wasn't until I put the word of God in my own heart and meditated the word, believing, "Lord, I thank you that by your stripes I am healed. Lord, that you purchased our healing on the cross." It says it right there in Isaiah 53. "Lord, I thank you. It says that I'll lay my hands on the sick and they will recover." You said that in Mark 16. You promised it. You promised in Exodus 15, "I'll take sickness from the midst of you and bless your bread and water." See? And I began to meditate on those scriptures and actually believe that that's what God wanted to do. Not just hoping it would happen. Not just like, "Well, it used to happen." Not just having a theory about God, but realizing God is real and his word is true. You know, I did the same thing when I was a new Christian. I was 16, 17 years old. I just came to the Lord and I was struggling with lust. You know, something that young men, you know, and I know even young ladies struggle with. Lust in my eyes, lust in my mind. And I felt so much shame. I felt so bad. You know, here I am a believer and I'm struggling with these things, but I want to be pleasing to the Lord. But you know, in my heart, I didn't really believe, I didn't understand these things, and I didn't really believe that I could be free. And you know, you got people out there nowadays. You got people out there who will, from the Bible, they'll twist the Bible and they'll tell you why you can't be healed. They'll tell you why you can't be free. "Oh, we're just sinners. We're always going to struggle." And those words will get into your heart so that you won't really believe it. You'll say, "Oh, I hope that mountain moves. I really wish I could walk in freedom. You know, it'd be nice to be healed. I hope the Lord does it." You know, and we'll talk like that because people have taught us wrong. But if you just look at the way Jesus talked, and you look at the promises of God, the Bible says you're dead to sin and alive to God. That we're more than conquerors, whom who loved us. So I remember as a young man, I didn't really fully understand these things, and I began to speak that way. The Lord began to show me. He showed me from the word, and he spoke to me. He said, "I want you to be free more than you want to be free. I want you to be free from this." See? All of a sudden, faith comes to my heart because faith begins where the will of God is known. And now I'm understanding, no, God wants this to happen. And I began to speak that way. "Oh, thank you, Lord, that I am dead to sin, alive to God. That I am righteous in Christ. I am a new creation. I am more than a conqueror. Thank you, Lord, that you want me to be free. Lord, and I'm crying out to you to set me free." And I would cry out to God. The Bible says he who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And I just said, "Lord, I'm crying out to you and I'm asking, Lord, deliver me. Show me. How do I walk in freedom?" And the Lord began to give me wisdom. Give me strategies. Show me how to walk in freedom. And right there, I was 17 years old. Walked in freedom. Walked right out of lust. Free. 17 years old. And all my friends, some, you know, other Christian friends, I'd tell them my testimony. And they'd say, "What? How do you do that?" And of course, I give the Lord, I said, no, it's not because I'm like, "Oh, I've got strong will." I said, "No, listen, it's promised in the word. It's promised in the word." See? You know that your words can release provision for your life. Your words can release provision for your life. That's exactly what Jesus did. You remember in Luke chapter 9, verse 16, it says that then Jesus took the 5 loaves and 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke them and gave them to the disciples to set before the multitude. 5,000 10,000 men plus women and children. Could have been 10, 15,000 people. And he takes 5 loaves and 2 fish. Notice what he does. He takes that little bit he had and he blessed it. Do you see that? Looked up to heaven and he blessed it. All he did, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. You are my provider. But see, how many times do we take that little we have and we curse it rather than blessing it? We complain to God rather than blessing God. We curse our job. We dishonor our boss. You say, well, but I never dishonored my boss in front of him. Oh, for every idle word. You've got to know your words of life, power of life or death. Nobody hears you, but God hears you. Those words go into the spiritual atmosphere. And the Lord Jesus is telling us right here, he just takes a little bit he had, and he blessed it, and he multiplied it, and he provided for thousands of people. Words, words. How did he multiply those loaves and fish? Words of blessing. Listen to Proverbs 18, verse 20. A man's stomach shall be satisfied from the fruit of his mouth. From the produce of his lips he shall be filled. Notice it says that? From the fruit of his mouth he'll be satisfied. You know, we think it's just by sheer work. We think it's by consuming that we'll be satisfied. But the Proverbs are saying, no, it's not by consuming, it's by speaking. You will not increase by just you working it out in your own human effort, by you being a consumer. No, the Lord is saying when you're a believer and you bless the Lord, he says by the words of your mouth, you'll actually be satisfied. You can draw a provision to yourself. You can release that provision, that blessing, that favor, that promotion over your life by speaking words of life. Before we wrap it up this morning, I want to show a clip from our pastor, Jerry. And I want us to watch this because he shares how God brought promotion in his life when he was a young man by him getting his own words into alignment.
I remember when I first caught these things. Oh, I saw them. And inside I was already changed and thrilled because I saw that they were true before I even ever saw them come to pass. But I remember I prayed that God would give me a box boy job at a grocery store. And now I'm just 18 years old. And I prayed that God would give me baggers, right? And so I got this job. But I knew by that point God wants me to go to college. And he wants me to, and of course I got to pay for this. And so I began to pray for promotion. And I found Psalm 75. And back then I used the King James Bible. And it says this in verses 6 and 7. Promotion does not come from the east or the west or the south, but God is the judge. And he sets one person down and he raises another person up. I saw that. God's the judge. See, in my mind, I thought the manager was the judge. And I found this in the Bible. No, he's not the judge. In fact, Proverbs, I believe, 23 says, the king's heart, the manager's heart, the boss's heart, is in the hand of the Lord. And like the rivers of water, God just turns it wherever he wants to turn it. Promotion doesn't come from the east or the west or the south. God's the judge. I saw that and I realized, man, I've got the advantage. Why? Because I'm with him. I'm his child. And I see this, that this is his will. Well, when I would go into the break room, there would be the schedule, everybody's schedule there that was stapled up on the bulletin board every week. And at the top were all the managers, and then they had all the clerks, you know, the checkers and things, and then they had this specialty group that would come and stock the medicines and some of the specialty items, and then they would have the janitors, and then in the bottom category, at the very bottom of the schedule, were all the box boys, the baggers, okay? And in that category at the bottom, my name was at the bottom of the bottom. I'm the very last name on the page. And here I am saying Psalm 75, promotion doesn't come from the east or the west or the south. Now, in that bottom category, at the top of that category, the top bagger, he'd been there 2.5 years waiting to get promoted. And now here I just started, and I'm wanting to get promoted. And my mind said, well, look, he's been waiting 2.5 years, so you're probably going to have to wait at least 2.5 years. But when I looked at the Bible saying, wait, no. God's the judge. Now in this store, maybe the manager's been the judge, but now I'm here, and I'm with him. So he's the judge. So I began to say that. Every day when I check in, maybe not every single day, but most days, I'd clock in. We had this card. You put the clock in and go punch. And then you'd put your card back up there, put my apron on. And as I'm tying it and walking out in onto the store floor, I'm saying Psalm 75. Promotion doesn't come from the east or the west or the south. God's the judge. He puts down one, he puts up another. And I began to customize it and say, promotion doesn't come from my manager or the assistant manager, or the third man. God's the judge. And I began to say this, he puts me up and puts somebody else down. Amen. See, I began to speak it. See, it's not enough that it's in the Bible. See, it's in the Bible that God wants you to be saved, but you're not saved until you speak it. Do you hear me? You got to take what the Bible says, and now you speak it, and that's what exercises the authority to release the power and promise of God in your life. So I began to say that. I began to say, and of course I worked hard too. I don't believe you just pray a prayer and then you're a slouch. You're just lazy and expect God to do your work. No. You need to work hard, because I also found in Ephesians where the Bible says, you servants that are serving masters, serve those masters as if that's the Lord you're serving. So now I got to get after it and serve the Lord. So I worked hard, but I began to speak that. And guess what? I worked there 5.5 months as a box boy, a bagger, and I got promoted. And that guy that was at the top, guess what? He didn't get promoted. He's bagging my groceries now. You understand what I'm saying? Listen to me. You have to know who you are. You have to know who you are. You're not playing with the same rules as everybody else. You have a God who made promises to you. And if you understand the power of speaking the word of God, it will overrule everybody. It will change anything. But you have to understand his words are powerful. They move mountains. They move mountains.
You hear that? Your words are powerful. They move mountains. So what mountain do you need moved? What's going on in your life that it's been stuck for a while? Where maybe, like Pastor Jerry, in your mind, it doesn't seem like it's going to change. Maybe from church traditions. Maybe from even your own mistakes. But the Lord is saying, I put promises in my word. I put promises in my word. And now if you'll believe it, and with your mouth, you'll begin to speak it out, those powerful words of faith will move mountains. See, I declare over you again today, everything changes. If you'll get your words in alignment with God, from this day forward, you'll never be the same. Provision will come to you. Promotion will come to you. Not for your glory, for God's glory. But listen, because the scripture says in Joshua 1, no man can stand before you all the days of your life. The Lord is on your side. Freedom will come to you. Victory will come to you. Healing will come to you. But it's not just for you, for other people. And let me end with this. You cannot wait till you see it. You have to see it in the Word. You've got to speak it before you see it. The power of life and death are in your tongue. Begin to speak life.